In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning we celebrate the Feast of the Divine Maternity. This feast was established by Pope Pius XI in 1931. And what was the occasion? It was the celebration of the 1,500th anniversary of the Council of Ephesus. In 431, under Pope St. Celestine I, the Council of Ephesus condemned Nestorius. And Nestorius, he taught the heresy that Jesus was two different persons. And so therefore, Mary would not have been the mother of God, just the mother of the human person, Jesus. This heresy was condemned by the Council of Ephesus. Very clearly, Scripture tells us, as we read in the first chapter of John's Gospel, which we recite at the end of the Mass, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh." We also read in the Gospel of St. Luke, when Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, she says, "How have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" When we think of the fall of man had sinned, but God was offended. And it was the work of the redemption that only the God-man could have fulfilled. Man had to make atonement, but it would have been impossible to make infinite satisfaction for offended God. And thus Jesus, one person, two natures, hypostatically united, brought about that infinite satisfaction by his death on the cross. One person with two natures. The Word made flesh. And so it is that at the Council of Ephesus, they proclaim Mary the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the Mother of God. When we think of our Blessed Mother, her divine maternity, we are reminded of how wonderfully we see the parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament. An important element in the fall of man was a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was from that tree the forbidden fruit was taken and eaten, and the act of disobedience brought about original sin that we inherited from Adam. Born into this world without sanctifying grace, with the stain of original sin on our souls. Likewise, a very important element in our redemption is another tree, the tree of the cross, upon which our Lord offered himself in sacrifice for our redemption. How wonderfully we see Almighty God contradicting Satan. A fallen angel appears to Eve, a virgin, and he tempts Eve to disobey God. And Eve, disobeying God, cooperated in her fall by offering the fruit to Adam. So also, another angel, not a fallen angel, but the angel Gabriel, appears to another virgin, the Virgin Mary, and speaks to her the words of the will of God. And this virgin hears the word of God and with complete conformity pronounces her fiat. Once again, we see another beautiful parallel. The creation of the world began by the word of God, fiat, lux, let there be light. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing, the incarnation came about by another fiat, the fiat of the Virgin Mary, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." And the light of the world came into the world. What a wonderful pattern we see here. When we think of our Blessed Mother, her divine maternity, we are reminded of how from all eternity God knew everything, even before he created the angels, even before he created man. God knew all these things there were going to happen, that man would fall. that the second person of the Trinity would come into this world and become man. God knew all these things, and how wonderfully, when we read sacred scripture, we see this brought before our minds all the time. After the fall of Adam and Eve, God speaks of a woman to Satan. Satan had brought about the fall through the deception of a woman by her cooperation, and it would be by another woman that this work would be undone. God spoke to Satan, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head." Not to get off into a tangent about this quote, some of your Bibles may say, "He shall crush thy head," or "It shall crush thy head." But if you look at the original Hebrew, the pronoun subject is she, followed by the masculine verb, shall crush. Askuf is a masculine verb, but it's preceded by a feminine subject, she. Maimonides, a very well-known Jewish scholar in the 1100s, he's a Jew. He's certainly not a Christian. He didn't accept Christ as the Messiah. But in the 11th century, Maimonides, when he speaks of this Genesis 3:15, he says the words, "She shall crush thy head." Not referring to Mary in his own discourse, but nevertheless translating it correctly, "She shall crush thy head." And as St. Louis de Montfort in his book, True Devotion to Mary, so wonderfully points out, why is it that God chose Mary, the humble virgin, to crush the head of Satan? Because his humiliation would be all the greater, being conquered by a woman. Our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, is our own spiritual mother. And what a wonderful thing it is when we see our Blessed Mother's actions, especially when we think of Our Lady of Fatima. When Our Lady appeared at Fatima, she came as a loving mother. And what was the core message? She was lamenting how many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray and sacrifice for them. She asked for prayer and sacrifice, amendment of life. During Our Blessed Mother's apparitions from May to October, she talked about the importance of the rosary. What a powerful weapon we have in the rosary. Ever since Our Lady gave it to St. Dominic to fight against Albigensianism, we know how the rosary, the recitation of the rosary, was the means, the prayer, that saved Christendom on multiple occasions. First against the Muslims, we have the Battle of Lepanto, which celebrated October 7th. We also know how our Blessed Mother intervened at the Battle of Vienna when the Turks stood at the gates of Europe with 300,000 soldiers ready to overrun Europe. And how God intervened through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. The Polish king, John Sobieski, after visiting the shrine of Our Lady in the Feast of the Assumption, at the critical moment, came and defeated the Turks at Vienna. Once again, Our Lady's powerful intercession. Our Blessed Mother is still very much active in the world today, and she's going to use us, her instruments, to help preserve the Catholic faith in these times. Why would the devil want to destroy the Catholic Church? Why would he want to destroy the Mass and the sacraments? Why would he want to not to sow seeds of dissension? No other reason than to destroy souls. There's a spiritual battle going on between Satan and the woman. And our Blessed Mother will conquer. On this occasion, as we attend the Fatima Conference, let us always remind ourselves about the powerful intercession of the Mother of God, how closely associated she is with her divine Son, Jesus, and how much of a loving mother she is. And as we've said so often in the past, why is that? Our Blessed Mother knows the price that her divine Son paid on the cross. We cannot begin to comprehend the sorrow that went through Mary's heart as she stood at the foot of the cross and saw her Son nailed to the cross and bleeding to death and being mocked, the agony of his parched throat and tongue, parched with thirst, the crown of thorns and blood and sweat coming down from his brow, his body totally scourged, and the mockery and the insults and the daring, come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. And this lasted for 3 long hours. Our Blessed Mother indeed knows the price her divine paid for souls. And that is why she came at Fatima as a kind and loving mother, to exhort us, not just the Fatima children, not just the people of 1917, but all of us, about the true answer and cure for these times: amendment of life, prayer and sacrifice, recite the rosary, modesty. We live in some very, very extremely dangerous times, politically, but more importantly, morally. The world has become so corrupt, similar to Sodom and Gomorrah, which God destroyed. Similar to the time of the flood, when God destroyed the world with a flood. And it's not for us to take living our spiritual life lightly, to be careless, to be lax. The time will come where we may be persecuted for our Catholic faith. Will we have the grace and the strength to persevere? Well, now is the time to prepare. Let us remember that Satan, if he has the rest of the world doing what they want, what he wants, he is going to focus his attention on all of us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the particular sins we are inclined to. And he is going to try to maximize our fall. Won't be very obvious, could be very subtle, very slow, but that's what he's going to do to try to bring us down. And that's the reason why when we invoke our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Have you ever reflected on those words, the hour of our death? Why is that? Because Satan goes all out at that moment, last effort to bring us away from God. And so on this Feast of Our Lady's Divine Maternity, we can admire God's providence. A woman cooperated in the fall, and another woman cooperated in our redemption. And how wonderfully our Blessed Mother watches over us and takes care of us. You know, over the years, we've seen a lot of special graces and our Blessed Mother distinctly interceding for us. And it's on a feast like this, Our Lady's Divine Maternity, that we should count our blessings. Most importantly, our precious Catholic faith. Satan was so clever to infiltrate within the church with his henchmen, all those evil men that were out to destroy the church from within, to destroy the Mass and the sacraments, to destroy the faith, to destroy people's faith. By the grace of God, we have persevered in our precious Catholic faith. By the grace of God, we've been enlightened to know and recognize the apostasy, the great falling away predicted by St. Paul in his second epistle to Thessalonians. And what is it for us to do now? In the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaks about these times. And what does he say? After telling us all these things, talking about the abomination standing in the holy place and all these things taking place, he concludes by saying, "But he who perseveres to the end, he shall be saved." St. Alfonso Liguori tells us we should pray for perseverance every day. We might have been a traditional Catholic for many years. We might know our faith, what we think, pretty well. But let's remember this. Without God, without his grace, without our Blessed Mother's protection, we're not going to persevere. So I would exhort all of you and remind myself, let us grow every day in our love for the Mother of God. Let us remember that she is so powerful in intercession for us. And as our mother, our spiritual mother, let us never hesitate to go to her often, daily, regularly, for all of our spiritual and temporal needs. And let us remember this. Whenever we say the Hail Mary, whenever we say the Rosary, whenever we honor our Blessed Mother, we are fulfilling prophecy. Our Blessed Mother prophesied, "Henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." Stop and think of this. The Council of Ephesus, 431 AD. That's over 1,500 years ago. Long before there was the Orthodox Church or the Protestant churches or any of these other breakoffs, it was the Catholic Church protecting the faith under Pope Saint Celestine I. And ever since then, and even before then, we continue to fulfill that prophecy, calling Mary blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.